You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 28 degrees under fair skies. Today is Friday, February 24th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Alaska Board of Fisheries is in Ketchikan today to address southeast finfish issues. Members will consider 145 proposals from advisory boards, gear groups, and individuals. They range from Sitka's Sacro herring harvest to Juneau's Taku River King sport fishery to changes in seine boat size limits. The meeting lasts 10 days. Fish and Game Board's director Monica Wellard says much of the first few days will be taken up by public testimony.
They'll be allowed that particular time frame to talk about the proposals they're for or against. And then there's also the written comments that they can provide, you know, put it all in writing and submit that during the meeting so their comments can be heard.
Sitkins are expected to testify on the various herring proposals. A pair of measures would establish subsistence-only zones in Sitka Sound. Another would require rowan-hemlock harvesters to have a permit. Those were all rejected by the Sitka Fish and Game Advisory Committee at a meeting in early December. A proposal to allocate more demersal shelf rockfish to the charter sector is also generating interest among Sitka fishermen, as is a proposal to increase the troll chum harvest in icy straits. The Board of Fisheries is meeting at Ketchikan's Ted Ferry Civic Center. Coast Alaska Station reporters will be covering the proceedings, and you can listen in. Audio will be streamed via the board's website. The link is in this story on our website, kcaw.org. Look under the Southeast News section. The Sitka Wolves and Mount Edgecombe Brave boys basketball teams met for their final contest of the regular season on Wednesday night. The so-called Battle of the Bridge this year has developed as the close, exciting rivalry many basketball fans hoped for when Sitka was reclassified as a 3A school. I attended the game. Here's a little bit of what it sounded like. That's Sitka Daily Sentinel sports editor Craig Giamona calling the final seconds of Wednesday's Battle of the Bridge between the Sitka High Wolves and the Mount Edgecombe Braves. Sitka won the game by 3 points, 59-56. Mount Edgecombe had a last chance to tie the game with a three-point shot at the buzzer by junior Grant Akaran, but the ball failed to drop in, and Sitka senior Devin Romine covered the rebound as the clock ran out. The win boosted the Sitka Wolves' record to 19-3 overall and 11-1 in conference play, and assured them the top seed and a bye in the Region 5 tournament in Ketchikan. The Mount Edgecombe Braves fell to 13-8 for the season, 8-4 in conference play, though their record does not necessarily reflect the threat the Braves represent to the conference. The Braves led for most of Wednesday's game, with strong inside play by their guard, junior Casey Green, who led all scorers with 20 points. Green and fellow junior Leo Ford, who scored 8, both consistently drove to the basket. Edgecombe's center, Jalen Prince, who on any other team might be point guard, was as dangerous from the field as he was under the basket. Prince scored 11 points along with his fellow senior Cody Sherman. Dominique Hall, at 6 points, rounded out Edgecombe's offense. The Braves' performance demonstrated that their win over the 4A Juneau Crimson Bears last week was no fluke. Sitka head coach Andy Lee called Edgecombe a worthy opponent and said he enjoyed the rivalry. At halftime, he tried to remind his Wolves, who were down by 6, of the fun of the preseason.
It's a single word, July. We believed in July. We went down and played at Seattle Pacific University and played a bunch of games down there, and we lost some and we won some, but we came away knowing that all of the work we've done since middle school would pay off in increments, maybe a minute here, a minute there. And the guys just stuck with the program, you know, and kids let you coach them. They give you the license to coach them. And so when Mick missed the dunk and I took him out, he was better when he came back, because when you can take out one of the best players in the state and he doesn't hang his head and he comes back in and hits a three the first time he touches the ball, they're letting you coach him.
Sitka's star forward Mick Petruski put up the first three-pointer of the game but went cold in the first half. He would eventually revive in the fourth period and galvanize the rest of the Wolves' offense and claim 16 points for the game. But Lee says the Wolves are not the kind of team that relies on a single standout.
You can take Mick away, and then Devin will hurt you. And tonight they took away Devin for a while, and Hunter Lee came through with some big baskets. And, you know, John De La Cruz has had two 25-plus point games, maybe didn't have five tonight. So it's our balance. It's Brian Way, you know, 16 years old, comes in, plays huge, you know, when we're in foul trouble, and controls the backboard, isn't afraid to guard anybody, you know. And we have Kendrick Payton, who's capable of doing the same thing, 6'5", sophomores.
Brian Way sunk one basket in his 8 minutes on the court, both playing with and subbing for Bay Widmyer, another senior forward who put up 14 points total. Hunter Lee scored 6 points in his last night playing at home in a Wolves uniform, and senior Devin Romine scored 17 points, 9 of them from the three-point line. The Battle of the Bridge is a fun rivalry, but neither Andy Lee or Braves coach Archie Young took too many chances or went too deep into their rosters for the last Sitka appearance by the teams. Only 7 Wolves had much court time, the Braves only 6. The regional tournament uses a double elimination format. Sitka and Edgecombe could expect to battle one more time in Ketchikan before heading to the Sullivan Arena in Anchorage in March. You can see a slideshow from Wednesday's Battle of the Bridge at our website, kcaw.org. The girls' teams have their Battle of the Bridge tonight at Sitka and tomorrow night at Edgecombe. Both games begin at 7:15. The state is negotiating a new lease for the Department of Labor building in Juneau, even as employees who work there continue to suffer ill health effects. Water damage, mold, and air quality issues have long plagued the structure known as the Plywood Palace. But under the current lease terms, the state is limited in the improvements it can require the building's absentee landlord to make. The two parties have now engaged a mediator to help settle a dispute over the terms of the new lease and repairs the owners will be required to make. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
Jade Bickmore dreads going to work every day at the Department of Labor building. She likes her job, but hates the environment.
Start out with sneezing, headaches, burning eyes, sinus pain and pressure, difficulty breathing, pressure on the chest, lightheadedness, kind of almost a brain fog.
State Wage and Hour investigator Mike Notar has had some symptoms, though he says not as bad as many of his coworkers. He says the building definitely seems to be the culprit.
I had a coworker had to go home the other day. He was coughing violently, and when he got home, he called me and he said, "I'm not coughing anymore."
And they're not alone. Earlier this month, more than 40 members of the Alaska State Employees Association attended a union-sponsored meeting for any worker who believes the building may be causing health problems. Supervisors who spoke on background report daily absenteeism rates around 20% for some divisions in the building. The state's chief procurement officer, Vern Jones, told lawmakers in a recent House Finance Subcommittee hearing that the state has entered into mediated negotiations with the labor building's private owners in hopes of forcing them to address any mold or air quality issues.
The HVAC problems that some of the employees have reported, heating, ventilation, air conditioning, as well as there had been in the past organic growth mold found in the building, and we're in negotiations with the owners to open up the walls, examine what's there, if there's any mold or other substances that shouldn't be there, to have them remediated and cleaned up.
In an interview with KTOO, Jones declined to be more specific, citing a confidentiality agreement as part of the terms of the mediated negotiations. Built in the early 1980s, the labor building has been rapidly deteriorating in recent years. A water leak in 2005 prompted replacement of some carpet. A downspout burst in 2008, flooding part of the first floor. Continued complaints about water leakage eventually led the owners to re-side the exterior, which was completed in 2009. But Jones says past lease terms did not allow the state to request specific improvements.
The state's leases generally have performance specifications in them, so we describe how the building has to perform, the conditions that must be present in the building, without really getting into design or technical details.
Late last year, the state hired a consultant from Seattle to prepare a report on the conditions. The firm recommended inspection of the roof to determine the source of various leaks, opening walls to determine the nature of the organic growth seen throughout the facility, as well as air quality testing. The consultant noted several areas of cracked wallboard in the building, as well as a pungent odor in at least one room. Juneau Republican Representative Kathy Munoz sponsored legislation 3 years ago that could have led to construction of a new state office complex in the capital city for employees from the Departments of Labor, Public Safety, and Fish and Game. The bill died in the Senate in 2010. Then last year, the Parnell administration announced it was scrapping plans for a new building and renovating the old Fish and Game offices in Douglas instead. In her talks with the administration, Munoz says officials have committed to major upgrades to the labor building.
We need to deal with the problems in that building immediately. There's no question about that. That needs to happen.
Long-term, Juneau's legislative delegation has said they're not giving up on a new state office building, though it will be significantly scaled down from the original proposal. Labor Department employee Jade Bickmore says a new building would be the best solution, but until then, the least the state should do is move the affected employees out of the labor building while it investigates the cause of the health problems.
Take the people that are affected out of the building so they're not having to be in the building while the work's being done.
State Chief Procurement Officer Vern Jones says employees will be moved around within the building during remediation. Jones expects the mediated negotiations with the building's owners to be complete before the current lease expires at the end of June. He declined to say how long the state is seeking to extend the agreement. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for mostly cloudy skies, highs around 45, north winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunshine, highs around 37, north winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Have a good morning.